We want to welcome you on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Now, hold on. I know, ladies, that's whatever, but if you're a man in here and you didn't just shout out right now, you should, like, shut your head off and praise. Amen? Say, Happy Mother's Day. Amen, brothers. I don't know if you all know this, but we all come from a mom. And so we have that common ground shared together. Just stating the obvious. So, hey, you know, today is kind of a roller coaster of emotion for a lot of us, and this is Restored Community Church, and so we'd be foolish to come in here and think that everything was daisies and roses. And I know that today is a great day of praise. Today is a great day of calling out for God's grace. Today is a day of brokenness for a lot of us who have in this room have lost our mamas or have lost babies or are not with your kids right now for various reasons, be it your fault or nobody else's fault. We know that today is a hard day for some of us battling a lot of things, infertility, all those kind of things are what we battle on today, and we'd be fools to just kind of come in and glass that over, right? But here's the good thing, no matter where you are in the spectrum of that, is that Jesus saves and he's on his throne. If your mama is in heaven, you will see her again. If you've lost a baby, you will see them again, amen? If you're battling with infertility, God is the God who can touch a womb at 75 and heal it and cause babies to come out of it. Amen? And he's the God who gives children through fostering and adopting. Amen? And so if you're in the gamut of any of those places, or today's just the day of joy, today is a gift to us no matter where your heart resides today. If it's battling, give it to the Lord and trust him that he's going to take it. Amen? If you're a mom, we praise God for you, and I will say this, you need to give yourself some grace, amen? Jesus was the only perfect human being on the face of the earth, and so if you are a mom, or a new mom, or a very old mom, or an in-between mom, there is grace probably in more in mothering than I would think that almost anywhere else, amen? Except maybe fathering, you know, because we probably screw up a little bit more than moms. But I'm going to say this. And I say this tenderly, is that I have never seen mommies like the ones I've seen at Restored Community Church. Amen? Amen? I am a broken mommy issues young old man, and I have all these distorted images of motherhood, and you say it, and I go run for Dolly Madison factories, amen, and eat Twinkies and Zingers and just suck my thumb in the corner thinking about mommy. Love my mom. My God, I pray, is restoring my mother, but... you know, no matter what the situation was, if you had the most godly mom on earth who just sang in hymns and psalms every morning and you know, she floated everywhere, if you have that kind of mom, amen. Amen. Some of you had that. And I know some very godly mamas in the past. And if you're a mom that's been battling with your own heart and addiction, and you have problems with anger and all those kind of things, if you have that kind of mom and you grew up with that kind of mom and you have mommy issues, what else brought you here? Here's the problem with Christianity that's going to slap you in the face, is that there's always a reason to praise and for you to get over yourself and your brokenness. Amen? Mother's Day is one of those days. So many people, I know that this is the fatherless world and it shows, but there's something that's a connection with a mama that when things are broken with mom, the whole world is completely distorted. And so for those of you who didn't have the world's greatest mom, or for you who literally had the world's greatest mom, there's grace. Amen? And even if she was the most horrible mom in the world, but you're here now with Jesus, Jesus takes the place of a father, but he also gives the love of a mother. And so Jesus fills all those voids. And so if you're broken this morning with mommy issues like I battle every year, and praise the Lord for what you got, because he saw fit to pull you through. And Jesus will fill all those voids. And by the way, what if you're supposed to be the one that's responsible for bringing restoration to your mama? Amen? And so, yeah, I pray for the day that my mom is here worshiping. I'll be the guy down here on his face. So, anyway, so that is today. And so we welcome you. But I will say that restored moms, restored mom and dads have restored kids. Amen? And so that means that it's not pretty. And we fight through a lot of things here. A broken past and physical and sexual abuse and we struggle with a lot. We have a lot of bipolar and depression in this church that is battled with Jesus and medication, and we have first-time moms and all. We have a huge battle, but at the same time, I have rarely seen compassionate hearts of moms like I have in this place. And I probably don't say it enough, but as you moms that are here today in our church and doing your thing, you inspire my heart. And so you inspire the heart of many. As restored men, we should really give God thanks for the ladies we got. If you don't have kids and you're still in our church, you are a spiritual mom. Where's one of my favorite spiritual moms is Laura Farney sitting right back there. She might not have ever birthed any children from her loins, but that's weird. I had to show the direction like it might have been some other way. Through her loins. I don't know. Yeah. Turn that one over. But you know, she used to say, well, I'm not a mom. Mother's Day, well, it took a while, but we had to convince her that being a spiritual mama is just as important, or sometimes more important, quite honestly, than even being a physical mama. And so today, for those of you who don't have kids and looking around the room, some of our young sisters and stuff, you are still spiritual moms and moms in training spiritually and or physically. And so you can glean a lot from today. You know, Proverbs 31, I kind of beat up this text once in a while because so many people abuse it. But Proverbs 31:10 and then 25 through 30 says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Rubies. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. That is what I love about these ladies, is that you are women who fear the Lord. There's not a perfect mom in this house. There's not a perfect mom of our leadership women, and I know them all. Believe me, they are not perfect. But there are perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect woman and a perfect mom. No such thing. Amen? The only person in creation that was ever perfect was Jesus. But this, a woman who fears the Lord, loves the Lord, and obeys the Lord, is a jewel to her family. Amen? And so that's what we celebrate today. This morning, 5 years ago, I don't know if it's to the day, but 5 years ago when we started this church, we were not even a half a year old. We had our leadership, four of our leadership ladies come up and share their experiences with momming and kind of give the word to us about being a mother, because I don't know if you know this, I'm not really qualified to talk about what it is to be a mom. And so they banged it out of the park, and they did a fantastic job. And so I thought, as a neat kind of way to do this, they've all grown tremendously in the Lord, and I expect the Spirit of God is heavy with them as we share today. But I've come up with some questions for them to answer and to kind of share their heart today. And so let's do this one at a time to make it as painstaking as possible. I have to start with the most beautiful one. And that is my wife, Jennifer Danz, of the pastor's wife of the church. Dang, those lights must be on. It just got hotter up here. Woo! This is, sorry. That's my baby. Second to this morning, we're going to call up Brandy Arnell, elder's wife extraordinaire. Refrain from comments there. Amen. Next, I'm going to call Andy Johnson, elder's wife, Andy Johnson. And Blondie herself, Stephanie Simmon. So a little background on these, I call them, and rightfully so, in a non-appropriate way, these are the most beautiful women I've ever known. Every single one of them from the inside and out, you know, my wife, obviously, you know what I think about her, and who she is, and not because she's perfect. My wife is not perfect. My wife is a godly woman, though. And my wife is a woman that God used to break my heart and to bring me to Christ. And so for those of you who have knucklehead, non-believing husbands, there is grace. Amen. So Jen, she's just an amazing woman of God, and she's grown through brokenness, not just fake piety or anything like that. She's just been a broken, restored woman of God. Brandy Arnell was our first ever elder's wife right there. And so, amen. Brandy moved up here with Tyson when God called us to plant Restored from Texas. They had a very posh life, and they came up here for even greater living conditions. And Andy Johnson is our youngest leadership wife in the crew. She is Jared, Elder Jared's wonderful wife and mom of five. And so Andy has been here. Amen. And all of them have amazing gifts. I won't sit here and talk about all their gifting, but for worship and for mothering and for leading. And then Stephanie has been with us also since the very beginning. You were all there at the very beginning at our time we left. And Stephanie is also an amazing mama of five. She's a dance master. She's got mad dancing skills. And so I keep waiting for her to lead the Restore dance team up here. So if any of you Stephanie has a great heart for missions. She's a wonderful mama and a good spiritual mama. And so this morning, we just come to welcome them and to hit them up on some of these questions about what it is being a mom. And this is kind of like a testimony service. And so what we're going to do today is we're just going to roll through like a talk show. And I am your host. Huh? MC. Yeah, MC. I like that better. Today we're just going to go and ask them some questions. But I'm going to pray first and ask the Lord to come and sit with us even more. Lord, I just want to selfishly first thank you for this wife and these daughters. God, I've rarely ever seen a heart like they display for all of our leadership women, Lord Jesus, all six of them. Our up-and-coming training wives also, God, they are servants, and Lord, they are powerful, Lord Jesus. They are restored, and they are not done, but Lord, they are in the process, and they should inspire the hearts of every man and every woman in this building, and I know that they are not tutors of their own horn, and so I will come and toot it for them, Lord Jesus, that they are powerful, Lord Jesus. Your spirit resides in the heart of a mama like almost like no other. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would come today and we would just enjoy this talk together. And, God, that the Spirit of God will come out of them and they would share and we would be open to receive. Lord, I pray for every mom in this room struggling with herself today and how she has mothered. God, I just pray that her heart would be encouraged and inspired, that all moms would be encouraged this morning and inspired. And you would just come and be glorified in yourself as we give you praise for what you have done. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, 5 years later, you wonderful women of God. Give me a little synopsis, and you're going to get mad at me, Stephanie, for not going off my notes. But give me a synopsis of what has changed in your life over the last 5 years. Just give me a geographical, kids-wise, have you added, taken away? What has the Lord done in your home over the last 5 years? Just quickly, 1 minute, and just pass it down.
We've added to our home. We've adopted for the first time. We've just grown. We've moved locations from where we worship Sunday mornings, and just so much, yeah. We left our apparently posh lifestyle in Texas to come here. We did downsize and things like that, and we lost a home and we lost a vehicle and things like that, but you know, that was all because of our own selfishness and greed. But we've also expanded our family and plan to continue to do so. So and we've had people live with us, move out, more move in, more coming. So and we're just I think the biggest change in my life is that I have so much support behind me that I have never had in my life that I'm so thankful for.
Amen.
I think the last time we did this, I may have just had Nancy. I can't quite remember. But so either. Maybe pregnant. Yeah. Okay. So since then, I've had added two to our family. And we've had people, you know, come and go through our house too. Yeah, a lot has changed. It's kind of hard to say in a minute. I guess we'll get time for that. But yeah, I don't know. My understanding of the word mether has changed a lot over the years. So it means more than just birthing a mm-hmm. child. So yeah.
We have added 2 children to our family in the last 5 years, and just, I don't know, I think, I don't know. A lot, I guess, has changed with just becoming a part of the restored family and realizing that support and reaching out to others and stuff like that. So,
amen. Sherry, keep it down there. Steph, what are some of my first questions this morning is, what did you guys inherit from your own mom, and how has it shaped the way you mother today? Are there obstacles? Was there great examples? What kind of things are there?
I remember watching my mom. She did home daycare and stayed at home when I was young, and I just remember watching her just have the nurturing. She was it was very natural for her, and I think I hope I have that from her, and just unconditional love and always there for me. Mm. I hope that I do that for my kids.
Amen. Let's poll them. Chloe, Susie, what do you say? Sorry.
Say it.
We'll rate you guys later. Don't worry about it. All right. Andy.
One thing that I learned from my mom growing up was that our house was always open to like our friends that were going through hard times in their own families and kids at church that needed places to stay for a while and stuff. And so that always was on my heart to want to be able to open my home when I had my own home. And so I think that just having the heart to say yes when the opportunity comes, I definitely got from my mom.
Several of you actually had the opportunity to meet my mom this weekend. She kind of has a no-nonsense mentality. And I did inherit that from her, which is good and bad. It's good because I'm very firm and I'm very consistent in my discipline with my children, which I feel like is very important. But on the other hand, I can be sometimes overbearing with them, which can cause them to rebel, you know. And the one verse that really came to my heart when I was thinking through this is Ephesians 6:4, which says, "Fathers," which applies to mothers also, I believe, "do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And so that's one thing I have to focus on a lot because of that no-nonsense mentality that I have, is that the discipline needs to come from a place of love and that there has to be grace as well. So I'm still learning through that.
My mom was very patient and loving and just so many things that I aspire to be. But one thing that I think that I've inherited from her is, or at least I'm trying, is the gift of being a mother and a homemaker and a wife is a blessing, and it has many rewards, and that you don't necessarily have to be successful in the world's eyes to be successful as a mother or as a woman. So I think that's probably what I've inherited from her, is appreciation for role as mom or homemaker. It's not just sitting at home eating bonbons.
She just does that on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Share with me, sisters, why are godly mothers so important, and why is it so difficult to be one, and how do we get there?
Having a godly example in women is so important because the world is just so full of lies. We're attacked in the media. We're attacked just from secular friends. We're attacked everywhere we look, that there's just this is what a woman's supposed to look like. This is how a woman's supposed to act. And having a godly woman ahead of you just shows you Jesus and what we're supposed to look like and what we're supposed to aspire to be. And it's so difficult because there's not a lot of women who are willing to step out of that what everyone else says it's supposed to look like and raise up, strive for holiness. You know, it's really hard to strive for holiness, and to be that for my children, to be that for other women, it's a real challenge. But it's like we would have been talking about, just the support system that we have here, trying to, you know, iron sharpens iron, you know, so that's really important.
I think trying to be a godly mother is very countercultural. One of the biggest lies that I know and I see all the time as far as being a mother in our culture is that you should be their friend and they should like you. And while in part that is true, I am very, you know, Abby right now is one of my best friends, Ariana too, Mackenzie will be, I'm sure, when she gets older. But they know the rules and they know the importance of following them. Because I think when we allow our kids to live by their flesh and do what they want to do just so that they'll like us and that we can have fun together, we're leading them straight to death. But it's really hard to do this in this world because unless you have a body like this around you to support you, you feel very alone. And especially with when your kids become teenagers and they're starting to assert their independence and their peers are really important to them and the peer influence is a huge deal, trying to counteract that as a mother can be very difficult. And so that's why it's so important to have a lot of support around you.
I think in addition to that, because that's, you know, I would have said something very similar about just being that godly example. And but I think being a praying mom is so vital. If any of you were at the women's retreat one of the last two years, Dr. Don spoke, and both times just really got to me when he talked about his own mother and how the way he put it was that she would stand guard for his soul. He would see her in the middle of the night praying, just earnestly, just praying for his soul and the souls of his siblings. And that is something that I'm learning to do. It's a hard discipline to do, but it's so important. If we're not praying for our children's souls, then who else is going to do that? So I think, we should all be praying for our children every single day, for them to know Jesus and do what he wants them to do with their lives.
Amen. That's a good word.
I agree with everything that they said. I don't have a whole lot to add, but I think for me, it's really hard. Naturally, for me as a mom, I want to give my kids everything in the world, and that's not, I mean, that's good, but I want them to really focus on the kingdom and godly things and not the worldly things. And so I think that's like fighting my nature, and it is hard. And like Brandy said, it's against the culture to, you know, not do those things and being their friend and making them happy and constantly the world revolving around them. And I think that's something that I battle with every day, and in the support of the church and leadership women and other godly women in my life is very, very key in sticking with the important things and all of that.
I've seen you all on your best days and on your worst days, and which is very rare, honestly. we've sat Shiva together while some of us have lost babies, and we've sat Shiva and mourned together when yesterday in our leadership meeting, we sat and we prayed, we were crying all of us together to God because, and primarily these ladies, because they have been ministering so hard. They are the front line with including Miss Robin and Jessica, the absolute front line of some of our recovery ministries, and they deal with a lot of disappointment. They get, you know, they invest in the people a lot. I remember the first time that Andy completely gave her heart to this woman she was trying to help, and she poured out her whole life, and I remember that this lady ended up lying to us about everything she was going through, and it was horrific. I won't tell the story, but it was one of the most eye-opening, horrific things, and Andy's world was just rocked, but she got up, and I've seen that in all of them one way or another with their children and spiritually mothering. They're all very good spiritual mothers. Matter of fact, our church wouldn't be anywhere what it would be without them mothering generations of women. And so my question is, with that lead up, is what does it really mean to be a restored mom via what you were 6 years ago to now, 5 years ago when we started Restore till now? How has your perspective changed? And what is a restored mom in your eyes, spiritually and physically?
I think for me, I think we're all going to have different answers a little bit. I think just it's very unnatural for me to want to expose myself.
Amen.
Not
yeah. Anyway,
amen.
Yeah. My inner self, exposing my inner self, yes. And just becoming vulnerable and willing to accept help from other people to become more godly.
Mm. Amen.
When I was thinking about this question, this scripture came to my mind. It's 1 Corinthians 1:3-4, and it says, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. And that, to me, is what being a restored mom is about, and really about any mom who's following Jesus. I mean, that's what that's about. We've all, everyone up here has been so broken and been restored and is being restored, and so we can comfort people who have been through similar things. And again, it's not just about our children. It's about all of the women in this church that we want to reach out to. And so, yeah, I think.
Amen.
I think the main word that comes to my mind when I think about being a restored mother, specifically those of us that are in leadership and who have husbands who are elders and leaders, is sacrifice. Not to boastfully say this, but we sacrifice a lot. Our husbands are gone a lot. They're very busy just attending to the needs of all of you. We are also very busy attending to the needs of women and our children. And so for me, I've had to learn to not balance. I don't like that word. Pastor Rob's has been very good about teaching us to not use that. But just prioritize, you know, when I do have time at home with my kids, to make sure it's meaningful. And honestly, Facebook is my mortal enemy in that. And so just making sure that I am utilizing what little time we have together as a family in a very meaningful way, so that my kids don't feel the sacrifice quite as much as sometimes they do.
To be a restored mom is to be a work in progress, and I think that is for every mom. We're all works in progress, and we all need to give ourselves, like Rob said earlier, a little grace. God has called us to a big role, and he's also given us a big responsibility, but in that, he equips us to do the job well, and so we just have to trust in him. I think the biggest thing is to just press into him more and lean on him more. And I mean, this goes for everyone. This goes for every woman and man and child in this room, is that we just need to press in more and lean on him more and draw near, and he'll draw near to us.
Amen. You know, I don't know if some of you are familiar with what it takes to be church planters. God called us to be church planters, you know, like 7 years ago. And at the forefront of that, you know, when you start a church, there's... You can make or break it by your commitment level, and most guys are committed, but to do a broken church, to be called to a church like this, to do what we do, to deal with addictions, to deal with brokenness, to deal with mental health, to deal with shattered families and affairs and sexually abused and physically abused, it takes the commitment level. There's a saying that they say in the outreach magazines that in the suburbs, it takes one pastor for every 200 people. That's like the magic number. That here would be disastrous, because we deal with an immense amount of brokenness and commitment. There isn't a day when your phone's not on, when your family's not stretched, and honestly, the people who bear the biggest brunt of that are leadership-wise. And so they, over the years, have become, and you know, they're all very headstrong women, in a good way now, very headstrong women, and very independent spirit woman, and they have all, in a lot of ways, been completely broken and changed into this beautiful submission of sacrifice, and that every day, even though as husbands we take it for granted sometimes, but they are women of sacrifice completely. They give up the time that most of us think we require for our children and husbands and our... how many honeymoons have we been on? Oh, that's right, zero, none of them. And a lot of the vacation time here, those things don't exist. And that's a honor, and you know, this isn't something they'll ever say, but that's a honor to lay down for God. And so them doing that, I hope you're, I just toot their horn again. I hope you're grateful because they are the backbone of what we do here. I have asked you guys to come up with scripture and or a woman in the Bible that inspires your heart, and share that with us.
I have both. Do you want both? Or how long do we have?
if you're talking and everybody's gone, that's probably a good indicator. So keep going.
Well, the big scripture for since I've become a believer has been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. I guess it kind of goes along with a mother in the Bible that I really admire is Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom. She had to completely trust the Lord with him. She trusted the Lord, you know, that when they said that he was going to be born, and then you know he was such a man of God, and he had such a big purpose in Christianity. I mean, he was leading the way for the Lord. You know, he was paving that road for him. And I think about my own children in that way, that I want them to be little John the Baptist. I want them to pave the way for the Lord for in people's lives and across the world. And I just think about what a big responsibility she had and what a big responsibility I have in that. And I think about, too, with her, that when Mary came to visit her, she wasn't jealous of Mary, that Mary had Jesus instead of, you know, John. She was so happy for her. And so I think as mothers and as women, we get so caught up in, well, she's got that and she's got this going on and she's so godly and she's so wonderful and she's so perfect and she's got it all figured out. No, we're all struggling and we're all in it together. And when we see each other as sisters and we see each other as someone else who has a need or someone else who is a work in progress, then we can encourage the other, you know, encourage each other instead of be jealous of each other and mm-hmm. just, you know, how women can get sometimes. So. Yeah. anyways, Elizabeth was very faithful and humble, and that's what I strive to be.
My children are in a very different place today than they were the first time we did this. And so the verse that really I'm clinging on to right now as my older two are moving into adulthood is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's Proverbs 22:6. Mary is the mother that I really... look to right now, just the her ability to know, at least in some part, the sacrifice and the horrors that would befall her child, and still be able to let him go. And so right now, one of the hardest things for me is to learn to let go, as you know, our first child graduated high school this week, and so so I really cling to that verse because I know that my kids are going to make mistakes. I don't expect them to be perfect. But I really hold on to that promise that even when they fall, even when they make mistakes, God promises that the things that they have been taught from a young age will still be in their hearts, and that will be their end truth.
Amen. Yes.
My three older boys have had a very difficult start to their lives, and when I got them, it was very, very hard to be their mom. I had a couple of verses written down. One of them was the Proverbs verse that Jen read. because that's sort of everything. When you have kids, you want to do everything you can to make them Jesus. And you try to do it on your own, and then you end up getting in the way and not being Jesus to them. And so to really lean on the Lord and not on your own understanding is huge. That's really everything. But another verse that I had written down that has always been something that's been on my heart, especially since I've had these, the boys and now the other two, is John 16:33. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. That verse brings hope to me. I have struggled so much with worrying about my kids, and especially my boys, and just the things that they have been exposed to and seen in their lives. It's a bad way to start, and it just gives Satan such a huge foothold for them to grab them and take them away from God, and to know that God has overcome the world, and he's overcome death, and he's beaten Satan. If I can know that in my heart, then I can trust that he can take care of my kids. And so sort of along the same lines as Brandy said about letting go, mine are not leaving yet, but that's a daily struggle for me to let go of my kids and to say, God, this is, they're yours, and I am going to trust you to take care of them and to patch up the brokenness that I can't fix.
Amen.
I chose Hannah out of the book of Samuel, I think mostly because, you know, she prayed for so long for this child that she wanted, and God blessed her, and that was so amazing. And then she promised to dedicate him back to church and the Lord, and she kept that promise, and I can't imagine giving my child back, but she knew that it wasn't her child. It was God's child, and I really do, to think of my own kids like that, but it's, as a mom, you just want to keep them, and that's hard. So one verse that I have really held fast to for quite a while is Romans 8:28. That kind of goes along with that, but it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So trust is huge.
It's a good verse for being a mom. Amen. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't think about that first. I forgot about who we had up here. Yeah. Let's see if we can get Brandy to break. Yeah, if I could side note that, Romans 8:28, you know, God uses all things for the good of those who love him, who are called by his name. Isn't that, for some of you, how many of us come in here and have broken families, kids with step-parents and all those families? Raise your hands if you have anything like that. Yeah, how many of you would agree that that's a huge obstacle in parenting and doing that thing? Well, think about that. I think sometimes, if I could speak to this, is that Romans, that text, if God really can use all things for the good of those who love him, who are called by his name, that can really be not only the biggest negative point of your kid's life, it can also be the best blessing point of God's existence in your kids' lives if we will train them and lead them to a way to know that the brokenness they feel in their heart isn't a place of bitterness and to be angry at God because dad's here, mom's here, mom didn't do this, dad didn't do this, but it's a place of them to be able to be taught to cry out to the Lord. And quite honestly, it could be a blessing. So is it supposed to happen? No, divorce is not God's heart. It comes when two people are not obedient to the Lord and somebody won't break. But God can literally use all things for the good of those who love him, who are called by his name. And so I've seen it manifested in every single one of these ladies. And so let me ask you this. What are some, and we kind of already touched on it, what are some of the biggest obstacles to being a godly mom? What is your biggest obstacle? I know some of you already faced this, talked about this a little bit, and how do you fight them? What are the biggest obstacles to being a godly mama?
I think just the world in general is so huge, and all of the influences that come against your kids, and you can't protect your kids from everything, and just instilling in them the importance of what's to come and not what's important now. And it just, I don't know, when you think of the world and how dark it is, and all of the many, many different things that comes against your kids, I think, I just feel like just one person trying to counteract all of that. And I know that's not true because of this amazing family. And so that's very encouraging and helpful. And I think the only hope that we have is surrounding yourself with godly people and God's promises for a future.
Amen.
Hope for a better day.
I think being, especially when I first became a mom and got the three boys, it was, like I mentioned earlier, it was very, very hard, and my patience was tried constantly. And of course that led me to sin a lot, at the time. And I mean, and still, you know, and so it's part of me wants to, you know, like all of us, we have excuses, you know. Well, I have five children and they're troubled and they're, you know, ADHD and they're, you know, this and that. And so all these things are hard, and it makes it very, very hard to always be Jesus to them and do the right thing. But yeah, the real answer to that question, the obstacle is just myself. And my lack of trust, like I talked about before, just wanting to do it myself and not letting go. So the more that I just try to be in the Word and just be on my face in prayer, not only for my kids but for me and how I react to them and how I love them, that's the only thing that's going to change that. So
I kind of agree with both of them. There's kind of two huge obstacles in my mind, just as far as being a godly mother. One is the world, and battling against what the world says. And I would say the best way to battle against that is just to teach our kids exactly what God says. And if God says this, the world says this, who are you going to follow? You know. And so, but then on the other hand, I would say the other biggest obstacle, like Andy said, is myself. You know, and I have bipolar disorder, and things like that get in the way sometimes of me being the example that I really want to be and that God really wants me to be for my kids. You know, and just my tendency to either be extremely busy or extremely idle, and there's like no happy medium for me sometimes. And so for me to be an example to them of a godly woman and not being idle with my time, but also utilizing my time wisely and focusing on my kids when I can, things like that. And I think that the biggest way to battle that is us. You know, and when I get frustrated picking up the phone call and making a call instead of screaming at my kids, or, you know, when I just don't know how to deal with something one of my kids has done, I call somebody and say, help, come talk to her for me, because I can't right now. And we do that. We do that a lot. And I'm very thankful for that. And my kids would not be who they are today without these other ladies and other people in this body. So.
Some of my favorite times are seeing Yarnell girls walking up my driveway like this. Uh-oh.
I wanted to talk to Pastor Rob.
I completely agree with the obstacles. I would just say, yeah, being a hypocrite to my children, I don't want to be a hypocrite to my children. I don't want them to see mommy one way at church and mommy a different way at home. And so to truly live it out every day, to be Jesus to them every day, is a huge battle. I also struggle with bipolar, and my kids have seen me on my worst days and my kids have seen me on my best days. So I just want to be consistent with them. So that's probably one of the biggest struggles, is to be consistently Jesus to them. And there again lies that you have to give yourself grace, and that Jesus will fill in the gaps when I fall short.
One of Jen and I's biggest prayers when we were younger parents and We did not yet learn about exactly what Jen was going through, and I was a moron, didn't know how to deal with it. And one of our biggest prayers for years was, God, please erase the memory of our kids today from anything that was destructive. And please, God, fill their hearts and their minds with things of you. And, you know, sometimes I think the best mom is an honest, apologetic, repentant mom, right? I don't know for how many of you are moms or spiritual moms, you've all messed up. And let's be honest, some of us have messed up in very, very, very big ways. Relationships with dads and dealing with mental illness and all these kind of things. We've all messed up. No, I'm sorry. We've all made mistakes parenting. And the only thing you could do is, if you try to shun that and just act like nothing happened, you're foolish. If you would go back, and we're supposed to confess our sins to one another, it says in James, so that we might be healed. Mm-hmm. Well, a mom to her children, in a repentant heart, apologizing to them, I blew up, I should have never said that, I'm so sorry you saw me do that, Jesus is cleaning me, will you forgive me? That is one of the most powerful things that your kids can see you do, and that God will bond you. Your kids are going to see that you're human. You can't keep up the facade forever. And neither should you crucify yourself. Mm-hmm. Repent and move on and let tomorrow be a new day. Mm-hmm. Amen? Some of you walk around with so much guilt, so much burden over what shabby job you did as a parent. And maybe you really did screw it up. But there is grace, and at repentance at the foot of the cross, there's a new day. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm writing a mom's book. This is an off-the-cuff question. What is the number one desire of your heart for your children?
I think it's going to be the same for almost all of us. For them to know and love and serve Jesus every day of their life till he comes back or they go home.
Yeah, same, ditto. But I would add to that, too, that they would have a love for the church as well. And be plugged into a very healthy body for the rest of their lives and not ever cave on that, make that a priority.
Amen.
Yeah, it's definitely the same. I mean, my prayer for my children every night is just that they would know Jesus and that they would want to serve him no matter what they end up doing as a profession. You know, that I just pray that they would use that to serve God, and even now as they're children, I just pray that they already would start to show that love and compassion for their friends, for each other.
I definitely agree with all of that. And one thing I was reading a lot last night, all over in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, about the joy that God brings us, and I truly want that for my children, to be able to experience just the fullness of the joy that God brings to your life.
Amen. This is kind of a different question than I kind of sent you guys. A few of you and all of us, we talked, Steph says she gets out of this, but she really doesn't. All of us up here, all the ladies up here, have either been a part of some kind of fostering, adopting, and or longing to adopt or foster. And so, by the way, part of our church's heritage, we pray, is that we will become an enormous movement that lives biblically in every way, and especially to the widow, to the orphan, to the prisoner, that we are building those things. And adoption is one of the big, we're going to become like baby pushers before too long. And how many of us in this room have gone through the roads or have something to do with adopting and fostering already? Raise your hands if we can see that already, working through adoption and fostering in our church, okay? That's pretty good for a small church. And so I've just asked them today a little bit, if they can give me a heads up for what do you long for in fostering, adopting, if you do, and what has it taught you about mothering from that perspective to adopt or to foster or to desire to? You don't have to answer.
Well, I don't have a whole lot of experience yet because we're not in that stage of our life yet. But Steve and I have always talked about adopting in the future at some point in our marriage. We do feel that right now is not the right time for us, but we are very open to it, and we look forward to that stage in our life. Whatever, you know, I have no idea what it's going to look like, but I do look forward to that and just kind of preparing my heart for that. And I know a scripture that is dear to Jen's heart, Proverbs 3, about caring for the widows and the orphans. And I have always had just a tremendous love and joy for children. And God has very much blessed me with five so far. So I just look forward to expanding on that later.
By the way, up on this stage, and then we have Robin and Jess. Jess has three. Robin has five, plus some sometimes. And then she has five. She has five. She has three, plus two girls, which is five right now. And we have five, almost about to adopt our sixth daughter. And so that way, if you add those numbers up in our houses.
When we get together, it's...
Yeah. When we can't have leadership meetings anymore with kids because... Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so that's just a little word about how many kids run through our loins and adoptive loins. Anyway, so go ahead. Sorry. I say stupid stuff sometimes.
our situation with adoption, I think, started differently than a lot. I feel like a lot of people, you know, feel the call to adopt and they seek it out and they have that heart for that. I always imagined I would adopt. But we sort of got the boys overnight, and it was desperate situation, I guess. Even though it was so quick and we didn't plan it, I was their mother from the first day, I feel, and so that experience really showed me. It was a desire I already kind of had in my heart, but it really just exploded that idea that you can love any child, no matter if they come from your belly or not. And that was 7 years ago, and so those are my kids, I think that goes beyond just the actual adopting. I feel like I can be a mother to grown women, too, that need it. And so, I don't know, it just, like I said before, it just changed the word mother. Just being a part of this church and being in the situation I was in, it doesn't mean the same thing anymore. And I just, that's encouraging to me. I feel like anybody who doesn't have children can still experience being a mother to anybody that needs it. I mean, if you open your eyes, you will see somebody around you that needs a mother's love, even just a hug. Maybe they do need a couch to sleep on. Maybe they need, there's some way that you can mother. And that can be encouraging on the other side too, if you don't have a mother or if you don't have somebody to help look around, because there's somebody in this room that can do that for you. So, my heart for adoption has really grown, and just that scripture about, true religion in the Father's eyes is not coming to church every Sunday. It is taking care of the widows and orphans. It says that in God's word, and I think that's more and more become, not that everybody has to adopt somebody, but I feel like if you can, you should, because somebody needs a home.
James 1:27.
James. That was the verse you were looking for. My heart for fostering and adoption has changed drastically, especially over the last year. I used to have the mentality that I've had my three kids, I'm going to raise them, I'll be, 44, 45 when they are all 18 and over, and then I can do what I want to do. How selfish is that? That's so selfish. You know, God's word, like we've already talked about, is very clear on adopting and taking care of the widows and orphans. And his love for us is an adoptive kind of love. And so why should we be any different? And so We have not officially fostered or adopted anyone, but we have very much unofficially adopted, or not adopted, but fostered several children. We have another one moving in this week, actually, and even an entire family, Mama and her two boys. And so, and like Andy was saying, for those of you who don't have a good mother experience or don't have a good relationship with a mother figure, that's one of the hardest things sometimes to overcome for a woman. And I've seen it firsthand, not only in my own life, but I mean, I had a mother, but we just didn't get along very well. But in the lives of those that I disciple and I mentor, that it's so hard to accept that love for them. And so it makes it that much more important that we who can give that to someone purposefully do that and seek out women who are in need of that as well as children. So,
by the way, if you need to drop your kids off at any time, the Yarnells are always open for more kids. So,
I have a quote actually. Our God is a God of surprises. Sometimes when we least expect it, he touches us with a miracle, and our life is changed forever. And that's by Jack Zavada. And I think that's exactly what happened with our Naomi. I wasn't, I was not in the market for, for adoption. I was not maybe as far along down the road as Brandy, but I was too. We had had our four children. We were in good shape. I was, you know, somewhat stable and mentally, and yeah, so I was doing okay. And then God brought to Rob's heart about adoption and just asked me to pray about it, and I said no. And again, we're all works in progress. And I did pray about it, and God just opened the floodgates of my heart to be able, especially when I saw her and I held her for the first time. It's just amazing. And so yeah, you never know when a little miracle is going to pop into your life, and you just never know what that's going to look like. And it's just been amazing.
I just wanted to add one more thing just about our experience, is that we have been so much more blessed than we have blessed because of our willingness to offer our home and our lives to other people. It's amazing how God grows your heart in that, and amazing how deeply he implants those people into your heart. And so I'm just really thankful that God has transformed my heart and my mind on the whole subject.
Amen. I will not start talking about adoption. I will not make it. But that is a part of our heart, and I pray for a lot of you. And that, you know, I don't want to be insensitive to the flip side. I also know that in this room that we have women who have had to give up babies for adoption. And you know, dealing with people and basket cases in every situation, and I get it, that things are difficult, but that has to be probably one of the most difficult decisions a woman can make. I can imagine not being a woman. But I would say that if you've ever been through that situation and have had to make those hard decisions because at the time you're in a bad place, I really applaud you, because that is probably one of the deciding that you can't mother a child forever in the state you're in is probably one of the most loving mother decisions you can ever make. Amen. And so even though your life is in the middle of havoc and brokenness, if you've had to come to that conclusion, and I know a lot of women have had just complete nightmares and totally destroyed themselves about it, but it's honestly one of the most godly things I can see, is for a woman that knows she has a sober self-assessment that she cannot deal with this baby right now, and to entrust that baby to someone else is probably, it is an amazing situation. So if you've been through that, we don't want to just be blindsided to one side or the other. And I pray that this church honestly will become a house full of running around, crazy, whacked out little foster adopted kids. So, who will be disciplined straightly. Amen. Last question, and last, it's got a couple different fold parts to it, but Moving on to spiritual mothering. What's it like to be a spiritual mama? And what is your heart for restored women and your restored daughters? We believe in spiritual mothering and fathering, and most evangelical Christian churches don't talk that way, but we believe in it wholeheartedly that there are spiritual mothers and fathers in the church that mentor a not age-specific, faith-specific person from infanthood, babyhood, to maturity. That's what we do, and you need a spiritual mother and father. Jesus did that to his apostles, and so that replicated with the disciples, and so now we are a part of that lineage. And so I believe this is the top tier of spiritual moms in the church. And how many of you in this church, one way or another, would say that your life has been affected by the mothering of these women up here, one way or another? Raise your hands. Amen. Ty and I raising our hands. Yay! Speak to that, what it is to be a spiritual mom, and what is your heart for restored women, and don't be easy on them. Be blunt. So.
No, I think a lot of my heart is the same as the heart for my own children, is that I want them to know and serve and follow Jesus Christ, and to be a disciple, lay down their lives to choose him over the pleasures of the world, to choose him over the lies of the enemy, to choose truth over lies. I think a big thing that I would love to see the women that I influence or have an impact on is to know that we're all clay in the potter's hands, that we need to be pliable and cooperative in that, and not fight him, and not be that rebellious kind of clay, but to be workable and pliable. And I think that I would just encourage them to that, to just be that, to be the clay that God would want to work with, you know, and to want to shape into whatever beautiful vessel he has planned.
I think for me, just being a spiritual mother is kind of a twofold thing. It's a huge blessing in a way, and it can be very rewarding when you see someone's life transformed, and just to know that God chooses to use me to do something like that with someone. But on the other hand, it can be very, very heartbreaking. I can't tell you how many women I have mentored and discipled and taught and led who chose to turn away. And it's very easy for me to become self-focused in that and think I've done something wrong, or I didn't say the right things, or I didn't lead them rightly. But it's not about me. It's about their relationship with the Lord. All I can do is teach them and tell them the truths. And it's up to you as your own person to choose to follow that or not. I think the things that my heart's desire for restored women is, like Jen said, number one, to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength, and to follow him with everything you have, with complete abandon, with complete submission to his will for your life. And number two, if you're a married woman, or if you become a married woman someday, to love and honor and serve your husband as the head of your household. If you're a single woman, to love and honor and serve the Lord as the head of your household. And if you're a mother, to love and cherish and teach and train and discipline and have fun with your children. But then there's one other part in that too, that a very wise friend of mine once shared with me, that you should always have three types of friends in your life as a woman. Someone who's gone before you and can teach you and train you and guide you, that you can look up to. Someone who's walking beside you, who's going through the same things in their life, that you guys can work through together as a friendship and as sisters in Christ. And then somebody who's coming behind you that you can lead and teach and guide. Because it makes you step up a little bit when you know you have somebody following in your footsteps. And so that's the other thing I would really just pray for every woman that walks through our doors, for them to seek out those godly, uplifting, building up friendships and put aside the ones that tear you down and don't help you.
Mm. I don't really have a whole lot to add, because I feel like that's the truth. That's how we feel discipling women. And I don't know if everybody that's being discipled always realizes realizes that, you know, it's a big deal. It's not just something that we do because. I mean, when we are trying to mentor and disciple somebody, it's because we, like Jen said, we want them to know the Lord. It's really no different from how I feel about my own children. I mean, my heart wants each and every one of you and to know and love the Lord and to submit and be obedient to Him. A lot of times people take that first step of we want to know and love the Lord, and then that second step of obedience and submission kind of stop there. And so that that is often our heart too, is just to get, is for women to get past that, and men, I mean, this goes for everybody, to get past that step, and finally, you know, you've got your foot on in the world and trying to be in the kingdom, to finally get that other foot over into the kingdom and say, I'm not going to let the world and these all these other things keep me from the what your true priority should be, which is God and the kingdom and bringing souls to the kingdom, and just being a part of the body so that you can support and be supported.
I agree with everything that they were talking about. Don't really have a whole lot to add, except that, you know, in laying your lives down for Christ's will for your life and experiencing the freedom from whatever bondage that you may be in, whatever enslaves you, and truly, truly experiencing that is, you know, I hope that for my own children too. John 16:21, it kind of speaks to me about the transformation that can happen in somebody's life. And it says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. And that last part is so, so very important to remember, everybody to remember that your joy can't be stolen from you.
End it with thunderous thunder. Well, how about a round of applause for our mamas here? Just a, you can just shut it off. Yeah, just a word. I'm tired of hearing from you. Just a word for you from a few different perspectives. If you're a young man today and you're sitting here going, why am I sitting here listening to this? You're a fool, literally, if you're not gleaning the wisdom of what a godly woman should look like. If you're aspiring to be married and you're a young man, or you're an older man that is not married, aspiring to be, it's the desire of your heart, you should desire. Hotness is great, you know, obviously. I mean, you know what I mean? But men of the world, I just got to be tender, but there are very few men left. There are very few godly men left. And I'm very, very hard on young men in their lives, because you, the church, and your bride and the Lord is waiting for you to grow up and to be a man of God and to put on your spiritual big boy pants and serve the Lord and serve your family and serve your kids. Do not yoke yourself to a woman that you are not ready to lead. You know what I'm saying? And so you listen to this. This should be the desire of your heart for what your wife will look like. Amen? Beautiful, not perfect, seeking the Lord, restored, obedient to the Lord. Because if a wife's obedient to the Lord, it is, Proverbs, how many times does Proverbs talk about the difference between a nagging wife and an obedient wife? It's a jewel to her husband and to her family. And so I would encourage you young fellows, I would encourage you fellows that are married to continue to pray for your wife and support her and be Jesus to her, because you and you alone, dad, father, person, husband, are going to stand before the Lord in heaven and answer for how you led your family. You are the sheep. If she's struggling, you're not justified. Your call is to jump in there and support her. Amen? And if you are a young lady, what else would you be aspiring for? I mean, I don't know. I think that God has blessed us with beautiful mirrors that we can look into and adjust things in our heart. Amen? And so we just want to encourage you as moms, again, if you're messing up, so is everybody else. Have some grace. Get somebody, get a mom. If your house is a disarray, your kids aren't disciplined, and by the way, a mom that doesn't discipline her kids is just asking to be beat over the head as they get older. If you don't have that and you're struggling, there are women in this church that want to help you. Amen? To walk beside you. I'll come and whoop on your kids if you need me to. I mean, Pastor Rob, you just call me in. I'll just dance on down the street. I spare the rod. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. 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 Kind of. But here's what we want to do last this morning. And some of you are fast Facebookers. I got a message 2 minutes into us starting with pictures already up online. That's just ridiculous. I wasn't checking Facebook. But anyway, thank you for what all of you do and who you are for our church. And amen. All of your husbands married up. So, amen. 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 here's what I would like to do. If you are a mom, spiritually, physically, adoptively, fosteringly, I don't care, stand up right now where you are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just want to say a quick prayer of blessing over you, and then I would like people sitting around you, whoever you are, to go and just to lay hands on these mamas. And Lindsay, I don't know why you're sitting down. You should just stand up. Anyway, but we just want to pray over all of you that that God will just bless you. And by the way, we need you, every single one of you, in the body of Christ and in our homes. And so I hope you feel that from your family. And so I'm going to pray, and then I would like you guys to come around, folks, and just pray over one another. So go put a hand on a mama. Yeah. Oh, yeah, come pray over your mama for sure. Husbands, come pray over your wives. I'm going to say it, and then I'd like you guys to pray yourselves. Shouldn't be one uncovered mama. All right. April, you got anybody praying over you over there? We need somebody over there praying over April. Break it up. There you go. And April's mom. Yeah. Do both of them. All right. God, thank you for the gift of a mama. Number one, Lord, we come and whatever our hearts are, I pray it's a place of repentance and gratitude. That we thank you for our moms. Lord, I thank you for my mom. Lord, she messed up, but she's your creation. And God, you have been able to rekindle some things there, God, and I pray for her salvation and our unity in that someday. And Lord, I pray for all the moms that are represented in this room, Lord Jesus, our moms. God, I just pray grace and mercy. Lord, I pray over every woman in this place today and man that today, if there's brokenness between them and their mama, that they do what they can to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers, peacemakers, and to reconcile in the name of Jesus with their mama. God, we pray for forgiveness for moms that mess up. And Lord, we pray that the same grace you have given us, we would give them. Lord, I pray over our mamas in here today that have a hard time giving themselves grace. Lord, I just pray grace all over them. Lord, we have a hard time battling ourselves and our sin and our life and the world. And then we get these little people that are 100% dependent on us thrown in, especially to a mama, and she's overwhelmed. But Lord, I believe it is that way for your daughters to cry out to you, and that you nurture your heart of Jesus in them so much by mothering that it is a blessing of a lifetime that is completely only blessed upon a woman. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you for these women. God, bless them, forgive them, strengthen them, encourage them. What we talked about last week is probably so applicable to a mama. Give them rest, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray over our leadership, mamas, all six of them. Lord Jesus, that they would just be encouraged. And I pray that this church, not that they ask for it, but that this church would have a heart of gratitude to the Lord for them and their sacrifice. And so, Lord, thank you from a husband's perspective of who they are, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that all the mothering, the spiritual mamas in here, Lord, this year would be encouraged. And God, that you would come and sit. Lord, this church restored is not just a man's led church. God, this is a church of Jesus Christ. And these mamas, Lord Jesus, are essential for everything that happens in this place. So God, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would encourage these women. I pray for the ladies that will become mamas this year for the first time, that they would nurture and suckle up, Lord Jesus, to another woman and be taught and trained. And Lord, I pray for Restored to be a church full, Lord Jesus, of babies. Any way we can get them, training them up for the future generations of Restored with your grace and peace. So God, we thank you that you are the gift giver of moms. And we praise you for what you've done. And we love you. And now we will all lift our voices and pray over these mamas that we have.